turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. We'll read verses 12 through 27 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where are the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, what a wonderful idea you had before the creation of the world, a group of believers getting together and calling it a church. Thank you for the family and the family atmosphere we share here. And Father, please, as our preacher preaches to us tonight, may we listen, may we carefully listen so that we could be strengthened and helped, so that we could go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled my sermon, Sick Spiritual Body Parts. Earlier we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where God is comparing the congregation of the church, if you will, to a body. Each of us is a particular part of that body. Of course, as we know, we have arms and legs and fingers and hands. God said the church is a body, and each of us make up a part of that body. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I got very tickled about this. One day I was sitting at the, at an emergency room, been there to meet with one of our people, and that emergency room was just packed. I mean packed full of sick people. Well, as I was sitting there, I got to thinking about this passage of Scripture. I think I pulled out my New Testament, and I was reading here in 1 Corinthians a little bit. I got to thinking about how God said that we are like a body collectively, but then each one of us make up a different part of that body. And I thought, wonder if what we were spiritually in regard to this makeup of a body, we were actually that physically. And my weird brain started thinking through it, and I thought, you know, I have an overactive imagination, just so you know. And I started thinking, well, smart people, maybe they would just be a head, you know, like you ever seen the cartoon, a head with legs, and that's it. It was just a head because they were smart people. Then I thought, well, maybe praying people, they would just be knees. And so because you pray on your knees, so I picture knees with legs. And my knees, they're ugly. I have knobby knees.
And so I could see these knobby knees. And then I got to thinking about hardworking people. Maybe hardworking people would just be hands. And that's what they were. They were the hands. And then I got to thinking about maybe the Bible readers. They would just be eyeballs. And so you got these people walking around the church. Some are just knees. Some are just heads. Some are just hands. And some are knees. And then I thought, blondes, they would just be airheads. And then I thought, the burden bearers of the church, those that bore their burden, maybe they would be just the back. All you'd see was the back. So you got these backs running around the church. And then you've got eyeballs running around the church. And then you've got hands running around the church. And you've got just heads running around the church. And then I thought about the gluttons. They would just be big bellies. You know, no eyeballs, just a navel. I mean, you know, that's where they'd see, that's where they would hear the whole thing. I thought, you just got this big belly or stomach. And then I thought, those who run from God, they'd just be a pair of hairy legs, you know, running around the church. So if everybody that came in, they were the body part that they best represent with their spirituality, church would be a lot funner. I mean, you know, it would be crazy. Gossips would just be a great big pair of lips, or they would be a big tongue. Can you imagine a great big tongue that walks in, and it's got little ankles or legs there? The preaching lovers might be ears. You'd have some people walking around, they were ears. Hey, if you're the kind of person that stinks up the church with a bad attitude, you might be a nose. And if you're a pain in the seat, you'll have to figure out what you would be. But I was thinking through this thing one day, and I thought, wonder if we were the body part that we are to be spiritually. Now, I'm sitting in this hospital. I had read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I got to looking at these sick people, and I began to think on 1 Corinthians 12 and its comparison of the human body to the body of the church. And let me tell you what I seen in that emergency room. I seen some people at the hospital that they had a temperature. They had a fever. Their body heat was too high. Then there was another there that had a certain disease. And there were people talking and I was listening. Another was suffering from dehydration, not enough water. Then another was suffering from malnutrition. Then another had paralyzation, I think, in one of their hands. And yet another was there because they had neck problems. There was another there that had a back problem. They'd been injured at work and had been taken in the emergency room because of a back problem. There was another that was experiencing pain because of heart hardening of the arteries. And yet another that they kind of raced through that had some heart problems. There was someone there that was struggling with poisoning. And then there was a lady there that was, they thought that she was in labor. By the time we went all the way through, waiting through it all, it was false labor. But I was sitting there, I was thinking about how we, as a church, are like a body, and then within the church, we are each one a different part of that body. And I got to thinking about how sickness can come to the parts of the body. And how at one time you might have an earache, and at another time you might have a sinus problem, and at another time you might have an ingrown toenail, and how sickness comes to different parts of the body. And I thought, I guess we could have sick spiritual body parts. And so you understand something. That as a church, we need to stay healthy. Now, if we are all one body, if you're sick, the body suffers because of your sickness. I mean, that's the way it is. When you have an earache, your whole body is attached to that ear. Now, as a family, a church family, as the local New Testament church, the local New Testament assembly of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, let me say, if one of us are sick, it kind of, in a way, can affect all of us. And so we should all be concerned that we stay spiritually healthy. Well, I thought on. I actually took out a 3x5 card. I jotted down a couple of notes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then I looked around the room and I wrote down every sickness that I knew was represented in that room. I got up early one morning, I pulled out my Bible, and I was amazed to find that every physical sickness represented in that emergency room could be represented in the body of Christ, and I'm going to share it with you. For instance, there was somebody there in that hospital that was suffering from malnutrition. A lady had come in, and she had lost her appetite. I heard her and her daughter talking about it. This lady had lost her appetite, and they couldn't figure out why. Now, that is a sickness I've never had. But she had lost her appetite. Now, wait a minute. You say, Brother Owens, how does that affect me and you? I mean, what does that have to do with tonight's sermon? Well, let me explain something. This book right here, the old King James Bible, that's our food. That's our food. This is where we get our spiritual nutrients. The Bible's our food. It's called meat. It's called bread. It's called honey. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you don't eat your Bible, you'll be sick. There are people within our body that are suffering from malnutrition. You are not spiritually feeding. You know what you need to do? Some of you need to do spiritually what we teach our children to do physically. Say, what is that? Clean and pray. Eat the food that's given to you. Hey, and it's all good for you. Guess what? You can snack between meals. You can eat all the Bible you want. You can get up in the morning and eat it. You can eat it at lunch. And you can have a little of it for dessert. And you can have it at supper at night. And you can have a midnight snack. There's no junk food in the Word of God. Eat it. You say, what do you mean? Read it. If you are malnutritioned, if you're not healthy, be careful now. You're attached to a body of believers. If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to begin to experience some symptoms. You say, Brother Owens, what kind of symptoms will I experience spiritually in regard to my medical condition if I don't read my Bible? You're gonna suffer with a symptom called bad attitude or critical tongue or a depressed spirit. Here's the bad part about it. Those things are contagious. Contagious. Other body parts will get around you. And if you got a critical tongue, somebody's going to hear that, and you're going to hurt the body of the church. We've got to stay healthy. God said we're like a body, and everybody here is another particular part of that body, and if one part of the body suffers, we are all affected. And so whatever sickness is out there, it could affect the whole body. And so I looked on around that room. I looked at some of the physical ailments, and somebody there had a back problem. A man had hurt his back at work. He'd been in an accident. Now, I thought this, as I was doing this Bible study, the back is often referred to when it comes to courage. When people talk about someone that has a jelly backbone, or they have a yellow streak down their backbone, what's it talking about? Being cowardly. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Hey, are you spiritually sick because you were cowardly about the things of God? Will you not stand up to your friends about the things of the Lord? And I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about standing your spiritual ground. Will you not stand up to family members? And again, I believe in respect, and I believe in honor, but I also believe that we should respect and honor God as well. Will you not separate from the world because you fear being teased? Christians, hey, listen, folks, you're going to have to accept something. Christians are supposed to be different. They're supposed to be different. We're to be a peculiar people. Christians are supposed to be different. Don't be ashamed of being different than the world. So, here I am. I'm in this hospital, and I'm looking at the different people that are sick. Hey, are you struggling with back problems? Is that your spiritual problem? Are you fearful of soul winning? Do you have a ruptured spiritual disc in your back? Do you have a spiritually deteriorated disc in your back? Is your backbone weak about telling others about Christ? Are you, hey, Are you hurting your church by not having a good, strong spiritual backbone? Are you cowardly? Is your spiritual backbone sickly or weak or yellow? Or do you have a strong back for God? So I looked around. I looked at one person, and they were malnutrition. I thought, that applies spiritually. I looked at another. They had a weak back or a damaged back. And I thought, that can apply to us spiritually. We get cowardly in our Christian life. Then I seen somebody that had a high temperature. Their body temperature had heated up. It was a child. Even enough that child wasn't thinking right. And I thought immediately, you know, the Bible talks about our rage. Are you hot-tempered? Does your temper flare up to the point that you don't even think right? Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. You know, we use the word rage along with fire. The fire is raging. Again, I thought, hey, that applies to us. That temper problem. Hey, do our children fear our rage? I think our children ought to respect us. And I think the Bible says that we ought to have the fear of the Lord. But a lot of that is not this fear of a big bad God that's going to zap us with lightning bolts. It is a respect. Listen, our children, yes indeed, there should be a certain fear, but it is more so a respect than this cowering in a corner. Hey, dads, let me tell you something. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You better watch how you discipline your kids. Watch that temper. Hey, does your husband fear the heat of your temper? Does your wife fear the heat of your temper? Are you hot-headed when things don't go your way? Are you in the spiritual emergency room because of that heated attitude that you have? I looked around the room, and I seen there was somebody there that had been poisoned. A child had drank some cleaner from the kitchen. And, you know, do they still make Mr. Yuck stickers? That's where they put a little sticker on something, and it says to the child, this is yucky. That Mr. Yuck sticker, I think it's named after Brother Nash, I think, Mr. Yuck. This child had some sort of a poisoning. Hey, have you been poisoned? Are you a part of this body, but you have allowed poison into your spiritual system? Have you been listening to liberal TV preachers that have you mixed up about the doctrines of the Bible? Are you reading the liberal theologians and their so-called Christian works, and it's got you mixed up? Have you been poisoned by gossip? You know something about this? I can preach this sermon on gossip. Some of the finest people in the church will send me a little note and say, Brother Owens, I don't want to be a gossip. You know what happens? And Brother Smith, I'm sure you recognize this as well. Usually the ones that need it don't think we're talking to them. They're just so used to it, they don't even recognize the fact that they're not controlling their tongue. Are you being poisoned by gossip? The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Here, let me ask you, with your lips, are you a peacemaker? Or do you influence people to go to war here in the church? It's funny. It's been just a couple of weeks ago. I two people, they didn't know that I was having an appointment with both in the day, and there was some time between them. It's funny how both of them came in and used the exact same wording about something they were critical about me with. They had no idea. I mean, the exact same wording. There's no doubt in my mind, and they're best friends. There's no doubt in my mind. They'd already discussed what they didn't like about me, but they didn't have any idea they were telling on each other. I mean, the exact same wording. I thought, wow, isn't that remarkable that you both can criticize me about the exact identical thing using the exact same words? It's things like that that prove out who the gossips are in the church. I didn't have to have somebody come tell me. I could read it as clear as a book. Listen, have you developed the venom poison in your system? Like the poison, the Bible says here, of an asp? Are you poisoned by something that you've been taught in the past, and it's not in the best interest of your Lord or the church? Now watch out. I was in this hospital. I looked around at these physical ailments. I realized that we are like a body here in the local New Testament church, and each one of us are a body part, and there can get sickness. Sickness can enter in, and we can be poisoned. We can have the flare up of that hot temperature. Our our anger. We could have back problems. We could be malnutrition. Not only that, there was a lady there that had gone into what we would call false labor. She thought that this was her first baby, and she thought she was going into labor, but she was not. Now, we compare labor. We talk about being born again, and a soul winner is someone that goes out and presents the gospel to somebody that needs to be saved, and when you get somebody saved, you become like their spiritual parent because you help them to become born again. Now, listen. We all ought to be concerned about the lost. We all ought to be telling others about Jesus Christ. I was so excited for Mrs. Kistler this morning. She had a visitor here. She had won that visitor to Christ. And you would have thought she was like a child with some new candy. She was excited, and she introduced me to her visitor, and her visitor walked the aisle and made public her salvation. You know something? That's healthy. That's healthy. I was thinking about Brother Joe Lopez. I got a note this week about some of Joe's soul-winning efforts. Went out and was presenting the gospel and witnessed and talked to over 40 people about Jesus Christ this week. That's healthy. That's healthy. And that is one of our custodians. Our custodian did more soul-winning this week than a lot of assistant pastors do across the nation in other churches. Thank God for that. That's healthy. But let me remind you, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my beloved son, Paul calls Timothy his son. Why? It was Paul that had won Timothy to Christ. And he said, you're my beloved son. Listen, folks, we need to be giving birth to new babies. And I'm not just talking about the little ones that go to the nurseries now. I'm talking about birth to new babies in Christ, getting people saved. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Here it talks about travail. Now, if you're trying to get people to grow in the Lord, there's going to be some travail. There's going to be some pain in it. Listen, all of us ought to be trying to birth new babies into the kingdom of God. And then we need to work with them and help them until Christ, after their salvation, be formed in them. So I looked at this lady. She was in false labor. I jotted it down. I thought through it biblically, and I thought, hey, that applies to our soul winning and the new birth of people that need to be saved. Then there was somebody there that was suffering with hardening of the arteries. Are you a hard Christian? Psalm 95, verse number 8 says, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Are you no longer soft toward God? Are you no longer soft toward the preaching? Are you no longer soft toward the man of God? And I'm not saying that for my sake. I'm saying that for your sake. Are you no longer soft toward the will of God? Do you sit with a scowl on your face with a hardness about you? Oh, be careful. Just like in that hospital room, somebody was struggling with hardness in their arteries. It applies to the body of the local New Testament church and the members in particular. We need to be careful that we stay soft toward the things of God. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of you that are newer in the church, let me tell you something. When you first get here, and it's exciting, and things are vibrant and thrilling, and it seems like every week something new opens up to you. Hey, it's great that you're submissive. It's great that you're soft toward the things of God. But let me tell you something. After you've been at it for 15 or 20 or 25 years or 30 or 35 years or 40 or 45 years, the only way you'll still have a soft heart is if you do it on purpose. Because if you don't stay close to God, if you don't stay up close to Jesus, the tenderizer of the heart, your old heart will start getting hard, and you'll just come to church out of routine. You'll walk in, you'll click off your ears, you'll sit there, you won't hear a thing. Hey, you may hear it with the ears, but you won't hear it with your heart, and you'll walk out the same, dead, dry, calloused over. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. It's easy when you first get around the things of the Lord to have the soft heart, but you'll have to work at keeping your heart soft after the years pass by. I looked over. I seen somebody that had neck problems. A young lady had hurt her neck in an auto accident. She had a collar on when they brought her in. Nehemiah 9:29 says, "And testified against them, that thou mayest bring them again unto the law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments. Which if man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear." Psalm 75:5 says, "Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck." What's this stiff neck? It's talking about pride. Pride. In that hospital with somebody that had a stiff neck, and God said, there are body parts within the body of the local New Testament church, and they get stiff-necked. They get full of pride. They won't receive spiritual correction. They can't receive spiritual discipline. Are you so spiritually well-educated that the sermons are all for somebody else but not for you? Do you spend your time analyzing who that's for and missing who God intended it for? You? Hey, is it the preacher that's wrong, or is it you? Is it the church that's wrong, or is it you? Is it the Bible that's wrong, or is it you? Are you stiff-necked about the things of God? I looked around that room. I seen another that was suffering from dehydration. Somebody was sick. To be honest, I'm not trying to be crude. They had vomited over and over again. And they had lost the water, the moisture content in their body. Hey, are you suffering from dehydration as a Christian? Have you lost your tears? When was the last time you wept over anything spiritually? The Bible says, some having compassion, making a difference. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Hey, tell me something. Whatever happened to Christians that weep over the lost? Do you realize there are actually people that love the lost so much, their hearts are broken, they weep and pray and weep and pray that the lost be saved? Are you dehydrated? Are your tears dried up? When was the last time you wept over someone that was backslidden? When was the last time you wept over somebody else's burden? Are you spiritually dehydrated? I looked. There was somebody there that was suffering from paralyzation. A person had lost the feeling in a hand. Maybe because of an injury to an arm. Maybe there was a pinched nerve. Then I thought how we could have paralyzation within the body parts of the church. Do you no longer feel that strong conviction from the Holy Spirit of God? Are you becoming numb spiritually? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Are you no longer moved by the Holy Spirit? Are you no longer moved? Are you becoming paralyzed? A church attender but not moved by the Holy Ghost of God? I looked out this morning. There was a family here, been associated with this church for years. They're in and out of church. I'm just going to tell you, I'd never in a million years tell you who they are. My heart is broken for them. I do not mean this critically. I mean it with a broken heart. They've been in church for years and years and years and years and years. They sat there. It was written all over their face. They were as miserable as a day is long. They sat there, and I mean, I might as well have been preaching to a rock. I mean, no movement. They didn't smile. They forced themselves to sing. They barely sang. They could not wait to hit that back door and get away from God. They're saved. They're members. They know the Bible so well, it's incredible. But they don't know the Holy Spirit. Virtually paralyzed, living in this world. Are you paralyzed? Hey, are you paralyzed at altar call time? just freeze right there, afraid to use that altar, afraid to leave the balcony and walk down the back steps and come down here and get on your face before God? Are you a sick spiritual body part? Are you paralyzed and not moving because of the absence of the Holy Spirit's influence in your life? I looked and there was someone that had a heart problem in that hospital room. A lady in her 40s. She's having palpitations or maybe an uncommon heartbeat. Is your heart in it? Is your heart in what you do for God? Psalm 78:37 says, "For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant." Are you right with God in your heart? The Bible says in Psalm 140:2, it mentions mischiefs in the heart, a troublemaking heart. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 29:13 that their heart was far removed from God. Listen, do you have a hard heart? Is your heart in what you're doing for God? Let me give every bus worker, every bus captain, every Sunday school teacher, every staff member, let me give you a great, great big recommendation about the work of God. Enjoy it. Do it for God and enjoy what you're doing. Don't do it just out of duty. Now, I believe we ought to do what's right to do because it's right to do. And I think we ought to do what is our duty to do. But let me tell you something. We can do our duty and enjoy it. We can do our duty and have a good time serving God. Do not let the service of God become old hat and just routine and ritual. Your heart, then, and I'm done. There was someone the night before, I heard the nurses talking about it. Someone had passed away at that hospital. Death had come. 2 Corinthians 1:9-10, it says that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that we will he will yet deliver us. Listen, we all had the sentence of death before we were saved. And He delivered us from that death through salvation. And that very same deliverance that He made available about our eternal life, He makes deliverance available in the life that you have here on this earth. Listen, if you're not saved and you're in this church, do yourself a favor. Don't die lost. Don't die lost. Get saved. If you're saved and you're unhealthy as a Christian, get yourself doctored up. You see, the part that you represent in this whole body, if that part is not healthy, it affects the whole body. It affects the whole body. You say, Brother Owens, are you just concerned with the people that attend our church on a regular basis? Oh, no. I'm concerned about everybody that's been baptized into this body of believers. You say, why? They're affecting our church. You say, why all the preaching about regaining the backslidden? They're sick body parts. I got to get them into the hospital and get them doctored up. Can you imagine what would happen if all the sick body parts that are members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that are spread out over this 4-state area would all come back to God, get right with God, and get healthy? Can you imagine the revival we would experience then? Hey, we wouldn't have had only 1,200 people here this morning. We wouldn't have had only 150 visitors this morning. I don't know, Brother Smith, we'd probably have to not have an auditorium of 5,000 or 6,000 to handle all the people that are supposed to be here, but they're out there sick in the world, and they need the hospital so we can get them healthy again. But whatever you do, don't you get sick and mess up the health of the body. We need to reclaim them so they can again become healthy. Sick, spiritual, body parts. As I was there in that hospital, I got tickled thinking about the body parts and how we're all part of one body and each one a particular part. And then I got to looking around at the sick people. I thought, you know something, I'm going to write those down. I did. And to my surprise, I found that the same sicknesses that we so often suffer physically can virtually be applied to the sicknesses that we suffer spiritually. In this body, this collected unit of people, our local New Testament church, keep yourself healthy. Don't suffer from malnutrition. Read your Bible. Pray. Do the things that Christians ought to do. And let's stay healthy spiritually. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.